He's in the room right now. He's in the room. You can keep the lights down, actually. Let's keep those lights down. I like it. I like just like this natural light right here, whatever that is. Oh, you don't want to do that because of the camera? That's all right. Sometimes I get in the mood and I'm just like, I forget, like, there's certain little logistics, certain little details that we got to remember. As Jake was up here just preaching, I just got hit in my spirit with Romans 12. Romans 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore. Sorry, I like to read from the New King James sometimes. I know nobody says beseech anymore. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. This is what a holy rebellion looks like. When you submit to Him, you cannot have a holy rebellion without a holy submission. If you are not holy, if you're not set apart, submitted to Him, there is no holy rebellion. You're just rebellious. And rebellion is as witchcraft. Rebellion is a big deal. Like, God does establish authority. He wants us to learn to honor authority. But He also wants us to learn wisdom, to walk in wisdom, to have our minds transformed so that we are not conformed to this world and the way the world thinks. And so when we talk about a holy rebellion, it means we have a holy commitment to His word above all things. We honor authority up until the point where it demands that we go against His word. That's the only place that you can walk in a holy rebellion, if you are wholly submitted. I just feel His presence in here today. Let's pray. Our worship team, you guys did such a good job of just ushering in His presence today. Would you just stand as we honor His presence today? We have a culture of honor. We want to show honor. We show honor to the Lord in this moment. You can stand or you can bow to your knees. I don't really care. Either one gives Him honor. Either one gives Him glory. Father God, we invite You in. Holy Spirit, You're welcome here. No spirit, but Your spirit is welcome here. I just pray for discernment. I pray for wisdom. I pray that we would be as wise as a serpent, but as innocent as a dove. That we'd be able to discern good from evil. That our minds would be transformed and not conformed. That we would look at the world and we would see it for what it is. And that we would line up everything against Your word, and we would know truth from the lies, and we would know light from the dark. Father, I pray that You take everything You don't want me to say, You take it and throw it away from me. Don't let me be able to recall it to my mind, and that You give me Your words, that they would come afresh in this moment. Father, I just pray for a fresh breaking of pride. That we would just come humbly before You, that we would be transformed, that we'd be renewed, made new in Your image, in Your likeness. In Your Son's holy name we pray. Amen. You can't have a holy rebellion without a holy submission. James 4, verse 1. Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and you do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you think that the scripture says in vain, the Spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously, but he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, submit to God. We submit to him first in all things. Submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. We submit to his word. Revival, it begins with repentance. Repentance begins with submission. It's just saying, you're right, I'm wrong. That's what we do. That's all repentance is. It's just saying, you're right. What your word says is right. What I've been doing, how I've been living, what I've been hiding, it's wrong and I don't want it anymore. I submit to you, Lord. That's where revival begins. You can't have revival without repentance. They go hand in hand. And so even today, just say a little prayer to yourself. Just say a little prayer to God. Just say, God, just break me today. If there's something that I haven't been broken of that I need to be broken of, if there's something I don't see on my life that I haven't seen yet, I pray that you would reveal it today. Just tell him that he hears you. He knows your heart. And just say, Lord, I want to turn back today. Show it to me. Reveal it to me today in this moment because I want to draw near to you. And he will draw near to you. Matthew 10:16. Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. 1 John 5:19. We know that we are of God and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. We have to learn to walk in discernment. We have to learn. We have to hunger and crave for wisdom. This week, just open up Proverbs and just say, God, I'm hungry for your word. I want to have a holy hunger. God, I want your word to transform me. I want your wisdom and not the world's wisdom. I want to be under your sway and not the world's sway. Be influenced by the word this week and not the world. And it might feel unnatural. You might not know where to begin. That's why I'm telling you, just start in Proverbs because it's so easy. It's just these little bite-sized chunks of wisdom. And the Holy Spirit is going to highlight something to you this week as you begin to read through them. And when he draws you to one of those verses, just do whatever you can. Write it down, start, highlight it, put it on a sticky note, put it somewhere where you're going to remember it, you're going to look at it this week, and just eat of that word. The word is the bread of life. Eat the bread every day this week and just see how wisdom begins to transform you. And all of a sudden, you begin to come out from under the sway of the world and under the influence of his word. And as you are influenced by his word, that's where the transformation, the renewal of your mind will take place. This is where a holy rebellion begins. It begins with a holy submission to his word, to his spirit. Romans 13, verse 1. Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers are not a terror to do good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same, for he is God's minister to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain, for he is God's minister and avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. Therefore, you must be subject, not only because of wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For because of this, you also pay taxes, for they are God's ministers, attending continually to this very thing. Render, therefore, to all their due, taxes to whom taxes are due, customs to whom customs, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. I tell you this because we never take holy rebellion lightly. God has established authority. And so we honor authority, we submit to authority up until the very point when authority goes against God's word and demands that we bow to the world and not to the word. We have to be wise to be able to discern where that point is. We can't just carelessly, recklessly, just gunsling and just say, I don't like that. I don't agree with that. I'm not going to submit there. I'm not going to submit there. I'm going to be, we rebel and we err in the side of rebellion instead of the side of submission to his word. That's the problem. We're too quick to say, no, I don't like that, or I don't agree with that. Go to his word first. That's what I'm telling you. You got to get wisdom first. You got to get wisdom in you to be able to discern when the world is saying you need to conform here, you need to bend here. You need to have the wisdom of his word to know whether that goes against him, against his spirit, or if it is in line with him and his Holy Spirit. You can't just, we don't gunsling around here and just say, well, the Holy Spirit told me. Well, the Holy Spirit told me. Is it in his word? Because we do believe the Holy Spirit is active, he's moving, he is speaking. But if you're hearing something from the Holy Spirit and it doesn't line up with his word, then we throw it out. We say, no, that's not from him. We discern against his word and in community. We don't just gunsling on our own around here. I'm acting like I really got guns. I don't got guns, all right? I don't even own a gun. I think maybe someday I'd like to, but I don't need one. The Lord's my protector. But if you got a gun, that's all right. I ain't judging you. We don't just go around and we don't just gunsling. We don't just say, I don't like that. Or, no, God's not telling me that. No. We want you to learn to listen to his voice, to live in his presence, to walk with him. But we have to do it in wisdom. And so we line everything up against his word. So when you begin to see in his word and you begin to see authorities or governing structures begin to demand or command things that go against his word, then all of a sudden you begin to notice the truth in this world. Isaiah 5, verse 20. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. That's what our world, that's what we're seeing. We're seeing the world begin to take something that is evil, something that is bad, and begin to call it good, and begin to even call it holy and pure. We're even seeing that in the church. We're seeing churches begin to take things that according to God's word are evil, that according to his word go against him, they rebel against his word, and they begin to take these things and say, no, this is good, and they begin to call the dark light. They're calling bitter sweet. And they're calling evil good. That's why we have to get wisdom. Ask him for wisdom. Make that your prayer this week. Just say, Lord, I just want wisdom. I want to know right from wrong. I want to know light from dark. I want to walk in your truth. I want to walk in holiness. I want to walk in holy submission to your word. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 14. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. It looks good. It sounds good. Satan is the best branding director in the entire world. Like he's so good at taking what is evil and just repackaging it, renaming it, and saying, no, look at this thing. It's good. It's beautiful. It's a great thing. We should celebrate it. I don't know if you saw, we had the State of the Union address this week. We had the State of the Union address, and what the angel, what Lucifer has done in rebranding abortion and calling it reproductive freedom, reproductive rights. That's what he does. He takes something that goes against God's word. Murder. It is murder. It goes against his word, and he's rebranded it and said, this is pure, this is good, this is something we celebrate. We have to be wise and discerning to know his truth, to be able to discern right from wrong. And some people in this moment are saying, don't get political. A pastor I like said, this isn't political. It's spiritual. This is spiritual. And what people have done is said, no, no, we're going to push Christians out by saying Christians aren't supposed to get political and force their views on people. But what the angel of light has done is he's pushed the Christians out of this world, of this region, this area of authority. And he said, no, 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 you don't have a place here, but we're going to come in. And we're going to push and force and make everyone conform to what we believe and what we say is right. No, no, no. We conform to the word and not the world. Look with me at Exodus. I've been here all week looking at this story. This story is beautiful. Sometimes we think about Exodus and we just jump right to the life of Moses. And we jump right to the life of Moses and him leading the Israelites out of Egypt, out of slavery. And we skip some of the details. We skip some of the beauty that's in here. Exodus 1, verse 8. Now there arose a new king over Egypt who did not know Joseph. And he said to his people, look, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come, let us deal shrewdly with them, lest they multiply and it happen in the event of war, what they also join our enemies and fight against us and so go out of the land. Therefore, they set taskmasters over them to afflict them with their burdens, and they built for Pharaoh supply cities, Pithom and Ramses. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. I shared this word last week. I'm going to share it again. If you are in a season where it just feels like you're being afflicted, let me tell you something. Stay close to God. Because if you stay close to him, if you draw near to him, even in your affliction, he's going to grow you, he's going to strengthen you, he's going to multiply you. Even in those tough seasons when it feels like the enemy is trying to cut you down and it would just be easier to quit and walk away, no, no, no. There's something happening in this season. There's a pruning happening. So there's even more growth. There's more multiplication. Believe that in whatever season you're in. The more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. And they were in dread of the children of Israel. So the Egyptians made the children of Israel serve with rigor, and they made their lives bitter with hard bondage in mortar, in brick, and in all manner of service in the field. All their service in which they made them serve was with rigor. Then the king of Egypt, he spoke to the Hebrew midwives, of whom the name of one was Shipra, and the name of the other was Puah. And he said, when you do the duties of a midwife for the Hebrew women, and you see them on the birth stools, if it is a son, then you shall kill him. I'm telling you, it's spiritual. Do you see it now? It's not political, it's spiritual. They think it's political. They want to tell you it's political. They've rebranded it as political. No, 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 it's a spiritual battle. There is a spirit of death that wants to cut off God's people, God's sons and God's daughters, before they even get a chance to take a first breath. Before they even get a chance to speak words. It's not political, it's spiritual. He spoke to them. When you do the duties of the midwife for the Hebrew women, you see them on the birth stools. If it is a son, then you shall kill him. But if it is a daughter, then she shall live. But the midwives, underline this, write it down. The midwives feared God. The midwives feared God. And did not do as the king of Egypt commanded them. It doesn't matter who's president, who's king, who's ruler. We fear God. We fear God first and foremost. And I'm not telling you like, oh, you're scared or you. It's not that kind of fear. No, you know, you have a holy awe and reverence for who he is, what he's done, what he's doing, and what he will do. That's the fear of the Lord. And he did not do as the king of Egypt commanded him, but saved the male children alive. These women, these midwives, they feared God and did not do as the king commanded them. This was a command. I believe right now our country, we're in a revival. I really believe it. There's a revival and a renewal to return to his word. I don't know what God's plan is. I don't know what's coming exactly, whether it's in the near future or 5 years or 10 years from now, but it does not matter. We fear him and we honor his word above whatever comes at us. And so if there's a command, if there's a rule, if there's a law put in place and it goes against his word, that's that place of holy rebellion. And the first people to take that first step of holy rebellion in Exodus, it was these midwives. It was these women. We had a little pre-service huddle where I just give a little preview of what's coming for the day, and we pray together. Anybody serving or on a team before church on Sunday, and I told them I had no clue this week. You know, I saw on social media it was International Women's Day, and I had no clue this week that was happening or anything like that. But I know the Holy Spirit had just put on these women on my heart all this week. And so I just thought it was funny, like, all right, God, I see you. I see what you're doing. Your timing's always good. It was these women that were brave enough and bold enough to say, no, 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 holy rebellion begins right here. We listen to him and not you. I don't care what you've commanded, King. I don't care what you've said. No, no, no. We honor life because all life comes from the Lord. So the king of Egypt, he called the midwives and he said to them, why have you done this thing and saved the male children alive? And the midwives said to Pharaoh, because the Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women, for they are lively and give birth before the midwives come to them. Even right here, they lie to the king. And sometimes we're like, as believers, we're like, we shouldn't lie, right? Like that's one of the commandments. But there's an order to the commandments. And the value of life comes before. Go to Exodus 20. Go to Exodus 20 really quick. Look at the order here. I didn't have this one up here for you guys. If you got a Bible, open up the Bible. Otherwise, we got Bibles in back. We're always giving those away. We want everyone to have a Bible. Look at the order. There's order to his creation. And God spoke all these words. Chapter 20, verse 1. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage, and you shall have, first of all, no other gods before me. We will not bow to idols. You shall not make for yourself a carved image of any likeness, anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands to those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the Lord your God in vain, and the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work. You, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth and the sea that is in them and rested the seventh day. Verse 12, honor your father and mother that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God has given you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. Here we go. Right there. You shall not murder. Protecting life, valuing life, it comes before bearing false witness. There's an order and a structure. And they didn't even have the commandments yet, but they knew from the stories that had been passed down, they knew that God is the creator of all things, that he values life. Because he's the breath of life, his spirit. They understood that truth. Therefore, go back to chapter 1, verse 20. Therefore, God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and grew very mighty. And so it was because the midwives feared God that he provided households for them. He rewarded them. They didn't have their own households. They didn't have their own kids, their own families. He rewarded them for holy rebellion. There's a reward for holy rebellion. So Pharaoh commanded all his people, saying, every son who is born you shall cast into the river, and every daughter you shall save alive. There's a reward for holy rebellion. Chapter 2, verse 1. And a man of the house of Levi went and took as a wife a daughter of Levi. So the woman conceived and bore a son. And when she saw that he was a beautiful child, she hid him 3 months. It started with the midwives. It continues on with this woman and her husband. She hid him 3 months. But when she could no longer hide him, she took an ark of bulrushes for him. She daubed it with asphalt and pitch, put the child in it, and laid it in the reeds by the river's bank. And his sister stood afar off to know what would be done to him. Then the daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river, and her maidens walked along the riverside. And when she saw the ark among the reeds, she sent her maid to get it. And when she opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the baby. The baby wept. So she had compassion on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrews' children." Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call a nurse for you from the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for you?" And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." So the maiden went and called the child's mother. Then Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this child away and nurse him for me, and I will give you your wages." So the woman took the child and nursed him, and the child grew, and she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. So she called his name Moses, saying, "Because I drew him out of the water." A holy rebellion. It started with a holy covenant. It started with a marriage between a Levi and a Levi. If you're not familiar with all the tribes, the priesthood runs through Levi. This couple was equally yoked. They loved the Lord. A man of the house of Levi went and took as a wife a daughter of Levi. The other thing that sticks out to me in this story, as the mother continues in this holy rebellion against putting these male children to death, and she puts him in the ark and she sends him down, Moses' sister, his older sister, she had faith. She kept watching. When everyone else had walked away, they weren't sure what was going to happen. When everyone else had walked away, she stayed and she watched. She kept her eyes on, what did she build her son? An ark. A little ark. That's the word there. And she sent him on this river, and she kept her eyes on the ark. The ark. If we would just keep our eyes on the ark, if we would just keep our eyes on the ark, that's our deliverance, that's our freedom, that's our deliverance through the floods, that's our deliverance through this world. The ark's the cross. If we would just keep our eyes on the cross and just continue to watch, our faith would continue to increase. We would begin to see more and more of his outpouring. We would begin to see how he shows up and saves and delivers. Because what happens? She keeps her eyes on the ark. She keeps her eyes watching all the way down the river. She doesn't take them off. And she sees that the ark is our source, that there's freedom, that there's hope. There's miracles within the ark that God is protecting, that God is using, that God is raising up. There's an empty tomb on the other side of the ark, on the other side of the cross. Moses' mother, she ends up getting paid to raise her own son. There's a reward for holy rebellion. Moses' sister watched the whole thing, and then she went running up when Moses was brought up out of the river. And this lady, she says, like, "Hey, do you know somebody?" She's like, "Yeah, I know somebody. I know the perfect person, actually, to nurse this baby." And Moses' mother, who thought she was giving up her son and had no clue what was ahead for him, she gets him returned to her. And she gets to nurse him and hold on to him. And she gets to see him grow and become a man. She stepped into holy rebellion. And she got paid. She got rewarded. I know there's a lot of nursing mothers in here who are like, Boy, it'd be great to get paid to do this. Like, that'd be awesome. Yeah. The devil wants to kill and cut off the prophetic in the womb. He doesn't want the prophets to get a chance to even take a breath, to learn to speak those first words. Because he knows that there's power in the words. The power of life and death is in the tongue. And if he can cut off the prophetic before it even has a chance to speak, he knows that's his best chance. We see it all throughout Scripture. We see it here. We see it when Jesus is born. And Herod finds out that there's been a Savior born, a Messiah. What's he want to do? He wants all the babies within 0 to 2 years killed. He wants to cut off the prophet, the priest, the king, the Messiah, before he even has a chance to speak. That's what the spirit of death does. That's what the demons, that's what the devil, that's what he wants to do. To kill the voice of the prophets. Because he knows the power of life and death is in the tongue. The power to open and close doors, to walk in authority. His most violent attacks, they come at birth to cut off the voice before he can even speak. You can nurture the prophetic or you can murder the prophetic. That's what Jochebed did. Jochebed is the name of Moses' mother. We don't find that out until later on. The other thing that I got hit with this week is you can be a Jochebed or you can be a Jezebel. That's what you can be. You look at these two women in Scripture. What did Jochebed do? She hid her son. When the king had commanded that all these boys be killed and murdered, no, she hid her son, and then she sent him down the river in hopes, in faith, that God would deliver. She hid him, she nursed him, she nurtured him, and then he was returned to her, and she was able to continue nurturing and nursing. You can nurture and nurse and mother and protect the prophetic, or you can try to cut it off and kill it. That's what Jezebel did. If you don't know about Jezebel, you can go to 1 Kings. You can read about Jezebel in 1 Kings. In fact, here, I'll show you something really quick about Jezebel. 1 Kings 16. 16 verse 29. In the 38th year of Asa, king of Judah, Ahab the son of Omri became king over Israel. And Ahab the son of Omri reigned over Israel and Samaria 22 years. Now Ahab was the son of Omri, and he did evil in the sight of the Lord more than all who were before him. And it came to pass, as though it had been a trivial thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, that he took as wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, and king of the Sidonians. And he went and served Baal and worshipped him. I told you, holy rebellion begins with being equally yoked. Equally yoked just means, hey, if you're going to be partnered with somebody, if you're going to be in close relationship with somebody, make sure you believe and you stand for the same things, that you're going to walk in unity on the same things, that you're going to chase after the Lord together, that you're going to pursue him with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. When people want to get married in this house, that's one of the first things that Steph and I make sure, like when we're doing pre-marriage counseling with couples, we want to make sure, do you guys both love the Lord? Because if you don't both love the Lord, that's a problem and this isn't going to work. You're not equally yoked. But if you're both chasing after him, if you're both running in the same direction, God is going to bless and use this marriage. That's where holy rebellion begins. It started with Jochebed and her husband being equally yoked and caring about the same things and saying together, we're going to hide this boy. Because they did that in unity. They did that together. But what does Ahab do? Ahab's a king of Israel. He's a king of Judah. And he invites in a Baal worshiper, a false god worshiper. And he makes her his wife. Worship team, I'm going to invite you guys up when you're ready. We're getting ready to close here. They were not equally yoked. And what does he do? He bends more and more to idol worship, to the worship of this world. He's conformed to the world and not to the word. And he bends and he conforms to her will and not his will. They served Baal. They worshiped him. Then he set up an altar for Baal in the temple of Baal, which he had built in Samaria. He built Baal a temple. And Ahab made a wooden image. Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel who were before him. In his days, Heel of Bethel built Jericho. He laid its foundation with Abiram, his firstborn, with his youngest son, Segub. He set up its gates according to the word of the Lord, which he had spoken through Joshua, the son of Nun. This is what Jezebel did. It was an unholy alliance. They weren't submitted to the Lord. They weren't equally yoked. She was an idol worshiper. 1 Kings 18:4. Later on, you see this. For so it was, while Jezebel massacred the prophets of the Lord, Obadiah, he had taken 100 prophets and hidden them, 50 to a cave, and he had fed them with bread and water. The spirit of Jezebel seeks to cut off and kill the prophetic. The Holy Spirit seeks to protect and nurture. You can birth the prophetic or you can murder it. You can nurture it or you can quench it. You can be equally yoked and walk in unity, or you can unite yourself with this world. You can step into covenant with the world and not his word. You can be a mother of prophets or a hunter of prophets. There's lots of spirits we can listen to in this world. But I just invite us as a church that we would just listen to the Holy Spirit. That we would just return to his word, that it would just be the light, that it would be a light upon our path, that we wouldn't stray to the right or to the left, that we would follow him all the days of our lives, that we would raise up and nurture children in this house that will seek him, that will love him, that will chase after him. I just believe that we're raising up in this house spiritual mothers and fathers who will do anything and everything to bring heaven to earth, to see the breath of God move through this place, through the hearts of his people, to see dry bones come alive in this region, who will go to war in the spirit, who won't back down to Jezebel or the spirit of fear or intimidation. For God did not give his people a spirit of fear and timidity, but a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. Exodus 15:20. Moses' sister later on, Jochebed and her husband, they raised Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. Exodus 15:20 says, Miriam the prophetess. She was a prophetess. The sister of Aaron, she took the timbrel in her hand, and all the women went out after her with timbrels and dances as they praised the Lord when they came out of Egypt. Micah 6:4, for I brought you up from the land of Egypt. I redeemed you from the house of bondage, and I sent before you Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. He's raising up men and women in this season. I told you a few weeks back that I believe that there's a Priscilla and Aquila anointing, that we're going to be equally yoked, that there's going to be marriages formed in this house of couples, men and women walking in unity and going forward. And he's raising up spiritual mothers and fathers to protect and nurture this next generation, to raise them up to know him, to raise them up to listen to his voice, to love his word over anything in this world, to submit to him, to be set apart for him. I just believe he's doing that because I can see it. I can see the fruit in this house already. And some of you, you might be in a season right now where you feel like we're not unified. It feels like everything that we're doing, it just feels like we're out of sync. And I'm telling you, the devil tries his hardest to uproot you when he knows that you're close. The devil will throw everything he can at you to believe that it's not going to happen, that it's never going to happen, that you can't walk in unity, that you can't be a spiritual or mother or father in this house. But I'm telling you, persist and fight through, because the wall, when you break through the wall, his glory is on the other side. He's waiting there. Let's just stand up as we get ready to close here and worship. I brought you up from the land of Egypt. I redeemed you from the house of bondage. I sent before you Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. Would you just put your hands out as we pray just to receive this? Father God, I just pray in this season that you're setting couples apart in this house, that you're raising up couples that are consecrated and set apart for you, for your purposes, that you're raising up men and women to be spiritual mothers and fathers, to protect and nurture. Father God, we just renounce the spirit of Jezebel. We renounce any other spirit that doesn't come from you. And we just turn to you in this season, Lord, to be set apart for you, for your purposes, for your kingdom. By faith, Moses, when he was born, he was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child and they were not afraid of the king's command. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, he refused to be called son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasure of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. Look to the reward in this season. There's a greater reward than anything in this world. It's a reward that will last forever. It's a reward that will not fade. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. We don't fear the king. We don't fear this world. We fear the Lord. For he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Keep your eyes on the invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, lest he who destroyed the firstborn should touch them. Father God, we just want to be set apart for you. We want to be set apart for your purpose. Holy and set apart. We give you our all. We return to you. We repent and turn back to you, Lord. All we have is yours. In your son Jesus' name we pray, amen.